years. I first met Keith a number of years back in his work with Compassionate International. He's the real deal. So if you don't know Keith yet, you really want to get to know him. He's got a heart of gold. Now, I first came to Christ when I was 13 years old because my buddy Ian Becker, we got a picture of him, invited me to youth group. Now, that's not actually his, I was age 13, that's actually his from when we were in grade 12 together. But he invited me to this little church in Nelson, British Columbia, to a youth rally. And on the second floor of that building right there was the first time I heard the gospel in a way that to me made sense. I heard about my need for Jesus, that God wanted to have a relationship with me. And in that moment, my life was changed. And I started to find my home, like an extended family in that church. They showed me really some tremendous grace. I was just thinking about one of the ways that I experienced this. That was just shortly after I came to Christ, and I was just getting to know, getting involved in a youth group and stuff like that. And Pastor Jeff invited my band to play special music at the Sunday night service. It was amazing. I was in a band. Did you know that? Now, some of you already know the band's name, but I'm going to bring it up again because I just think it's, looking back on it all these years later, it's just hilarious. See, there's my band. You see that? Okay, our name was, you ready for this? Streetwise. We lived in a town that had like 3 stoplights, but that means we were Streetwise. That's like so 80s. Anyways, so I got my buddies. I got Russell and Dean. Did you see the size of that drum kit? Yeah, bigger is better. That's right. So Russell and Dean and Dan, and I told them, we got a gig. We're going to go. We're going to play that church, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to really give these folks some good music. So we found the biggest amplifiers we could get, and we brought them in. Now, who here has ever seen the front of a guitar amplifier? About half of you? Come on. You guys have watched Spinal Tap. You know what's about to happen. So on guitar amps, you might have seen this. They've got knobs, and they go from like 1, which is quiet, to 4, which is kind of loud, to 10, which is awesome. Yeah, that's right. And if you have the option between, like a 4 out of 10 performance or a 2 out of 10 performance, or, you really want to give people your best, right? If you're gonna show up for this amazing gig, you want to give them a full 10 out of 10 experience. That's what you do. So we got our amps, and I remember I wrote a song for this. It was like one of the first Christian songs I wrote, and of course, I didn't know a thing about it. So it was like, okay, let's use that verse. It was looking back. Oh man. Anyways, so we got our amps up, and of course, it became really quickly apparent that this congregation was not used to good music. But we got through it. Although, looking back, these years later, as I look back at what we offered as our musical piece, there's a, what's that word you use for music that's not good? What's the word? No, I'm not going to say that on camera. What's the word do we use? Bad? Yeah, that's the right word. That's basically the right word. It was bad. It was loud. It was horrible. We gave it our whole hearts. We did our thing. But the part that changed my life was just that, after all of this, now at the time I didn't see it, but looking back, you see, I realized like we really were not providing what this congregation in this moment was needing. But those folks gave me exactly what I needed. And after the service, they, you know, it came up and these, you know, like little old ladies, like they were 40 at least, you know, like they're coming. And when you're 13, everybody over 30 is ancient. Just remember that. And so, they, you know, they came up and they said, "We're so glad you're here. We're so," they didn't say anything about the music, but "we're so glad you're here." They even gave me like a little cubby hole in the foyer with like a mailbox and the whole deal. And it changed my life. And I grew in faith through that congregation. And the only reason I tell that story, even the whole like, you know, rocking out in, you know, Sunday night church story, is every one of us has had a journey of faith. I mean, there was some point in our life, whether that was this big dramatic moment or it was kind of over time, but there's a time we heard the message of Jesus. And it changed our lives, right? But the part I want to stress today is not just the message. The message is vitally important. But the message comes through messengers. There were people. There were people that invested in me long before I really had anything to offer them that would, you know, be particularly beneficial to where they were. They invested in me a long time before I had much to give. And it changed my life. And every single one of us that, you know, so maybe it was a grandmother, maybe it was a little local church, maybe it was a mega church, maybe it was somebody on TV, but somehow you heard the message through reliable messengers and there's some part of you that said, "I want that. I see that. You tell me about grace and I have some idea of what grace actually looks like because I see it in you. I see it in you." So today we're going to, this is the last week in our series called Reconnect. But throughout this series, we've been looking at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 through different translations, all those things so we can kind of get it with different types of wording so we can get our head wrapped around this really big, really foundational idea. And the part of the passage I want us to really focus on today, you know, has to do with the fact that, you know, this incredibly vitally important message is delivered through messengers. And this passage tells us who those messengers are. So, if you've got your Bibles open, and I hope you would, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today, another good translation. Actually, incidentally, nerd moment, some of my profs in seminary actually were part of the translation team for the New Living Translation. So if you go on my Facebook page, you could actually connect with some of the translation team for New Living Translation. There you go. Anyways, so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Jesus has become a new person." Amen? Amen. "The old life is gone. A new life has begun. All this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through" who? Christ. So it wasn't because of us. It wasn't because of what we did. It wasn't you just finally got your act together. He brought us back to himself through Christ. "And God has given us," that's our key word of the day, "God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us," key word, "us, this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through," say it with me, "us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So I want us to focus in on just, it's verse 20, the first half of verse 20. And spend a bunch of time just camping out here on this one big, super important idea. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his, what's the word? Oh, you can read. Appeal. Appeal through who? Keyword? Us. Look to your left. Look to your right. So we are Christ's ambassadors, his representatives, his messengers. And God is making his appeal through us. What is the appeal? What's the big message? How would you summarize it in your own words? Salvation. That message of salvation. That message of return to God. That message of be, when we've seen all these different words used to describe the same fundamental idea, right? Be reconciled to God. You were once enemies with God, but now through Christ, God has invited us to become his friends. So return to God, be reconciled with God. We were once enemies of God, but now God has made us friends with him. All different language just to wrap our heads around this gigantic, vitally important idea, right? That's the appeal that God is sending us out with. Can we just keep that verse up on the screen? For we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Now, why is this message important? Like, what happens if somebody never, ever, ever hears about Jesus and his love for them and his desire for them to have a relationship with him? What happens to them? Right. Is it eternal separation from God? You have people on this planet that do not actually know why they are on this planet. We were created for relationship with our Creator. Now, we have gone astray. We've turned our back on him. You just think what God offered Adam and Eve within the original creation. I am giving you this incredible world where you will live forever, where there is perfect harmony, where there is abundance, where there is enough for everyone, where you have meaningful things to do, where all the parts of the environment work, where everything is in perfect balance. Adam, Eve, would you like that? And our spiritual predecessors, and we feel this in our own hearts too, they looked at that and they said, no, I'd rather do things my way. And underneath all of the problems that we see on the surface of this world right now, where everything from the economic disparity to the environmental problems to the racial inequality to the medical, all of it, the bad economic theory and bad politics, all of it underneath, all of that stuff, and it's legitimate and it's there and it's present, is this deeper thing. And the Bible calls it that sin. That's our rebellion against God, our turning our back on our Creator. And the good news is that rather than God leaving us to our own devices, he intervened in creation. The Creator became part of creation. The one who made humanity became human in order to redeem humanity. That's the good news. That's the great big idea. So that through Jesus, the invitation to restore relationship could be given. That Jesus took all of the sin, all of the consequences, the spiritual consequences of all the garbage in me and in you and in us. He took all of it on himself in the most painful way possible, because he's taking on the entire weight of sin of all humanity, dealing with it once and for all. And all we need to do is receive it. All we need to do is receive that gift for that relationship to be restored. That is good news. And you're really quiet about it. I'm not quite sure what to make of this, because you think this is literally the best news ever. Right? Literally the best news ever. There is no message more transformational than the message of Jesus. It changes every aspect about how we see ourselves, how we see the world, everything, everything. That's the appeal. Can we keep the verse up on the screen? That's the appeal that God is seeking to make through who?
Us.
That's our job. That's our job. Our job is to tell and show the message. That's what changed my life when I was 13 years old. I saw it. I didn't see it perfectly. I mean, this church had plenty of flaws, just like every church does. But I saw enough of it to be able to go, I believe that, and it changed my life. And every one of you who has a story of coming to Christ, you have a story similar to that. It might not have been in a dramatic moment, might not be, the details may not be exactly the same, but you heard about grace, you saw some example of grace in somebody, and you said yes to it, right? Nod your heads like you're following, or if you totally disagree, that's totally cool too. I believe it is the most important message ever. And who is God making that appeal to the world through? We gotta let that sink in, folks. Who is it? So who's been given that job?
Us,
we have. Is it the politician's job to deliver that message? No. As important as politics is, and it truly is important. Is it the educational community's job to deliver that message? No, even though education is vitally important, isn't it? Is it Hollywood's job to deliver that message? The answer, the correct answer, Walt, is no, it is not. And is Hollywood important? I don't know about that. So, is it professional sports' job? I'm gonna really poke some buttons here. Here we go. Is it their job to proclaim that message? No. Why do we whine about all this? Why do we get so uptight about people who we wish would do our job for us, not doing our job very well? Whose job is it? Next question. What happens if we don't do our job? What happens when somebody, we come back to this idea, what happens when somebody does not hear God's invitation of reconciliation, his invitation of friendship, the invitation for a transformed life through forgiveness through Christ Jesus? What happens? The eternal consequences are as bad as it gets. What happens when a culture stops hearing that?
Well, you're like, well, but the dumpster fire of 2020 would be a good example.
Are things getting better? Is the church growing overall in America right now? Does this surprise us? Who are the messengers? Who's been given the task of delivering the appeal? Can we keep the verse up on the screen? So who are Christ's ambassadors? Who's he making the appeal through?
Us.
It might not feel like a big deal sometimes, just like, you know, you go to some little church in a little town on a corner of Stanley, and I can't remember the other name of the cross street, and somebody was volunteering for youth ministry at some rally, and I'm sure it was inconvenient for them. And one kid's heart got changed. There's probably days it just doesn't feel like a big deal. Like, the, you know, church, it's kind of optional, it's kind of inconvenient. Because let's face it, I mean, one of the things, and this is maybe the positive that's come out of this whole, like, you know, society in the blender thing that we've experienced in the last year, is and churches. I mean, this is a year of a lot of upheaval. Let's just be honest. It's hard. It's a tough season. One of the, maybe the benefits that's come out of it is I think that the kind of just consumer Christians or people that would just go to church to be seen, they're not coming to church anymore. You know? Like,
come, you coming to church, you even, you know, joining us online, you taking time out of a Sunday morning to be part of worship, this is not going to help your career. You know, this isn't going to help your kids get better grades necessarily. It's not going to help their soccer career, that's for sure, because some of you had to make really hard decisions about this stuff. Nobody cares whether or not you attend. So it's not gonna help your business. So a lot of that's been, you know, so for those who are maybe going to church for just, you know, those kind of reasons, I think a lot of that's just filtering out. And we're finding that people that are actually here are here because they understand what an important thing they're part of, or they're just honestly seeking, which are just great reasons to be in church. But there's not much in it, at least societally, for you anymore with this, and perhaps that's a really good thing. Do you realize that being part of a local church, for all its flaws, and it's got plenty, but being a part of a local church and honestly seeking to follow Jesus with your life, you are part of the most societally transformative organization ever? Ever? Now, some of you don't totally believe me. I'm going to give you just a few examples, okay? And you know, so look this up. You don't need to, you know, so go ahead, Google some of this stuff. Because I want us to get our heads around some like questions, like, so what actually happens when the church really, like, understands its role as being Christ's ambassadors in the world? What really happens? Here's one example. St. Basil of Caesarea, 369. Do you know, in that ministry, that's not actually a photo. But so known as St. Basil, that was the origin of hospitals. The origin of hospitals. Now, a whole lot of extra things happened in the mid-1700s, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But that was the first point because, see, Christianity has this bizarre idea that all people matter to God. And so when somebody is in crisis, they're in medical need, they should actually get help. It's not just based on whether you like them or know them already or they're valuable to you. They are valuable because they are valuable to God. It is a that is a huge idea. And if there's one thing we've seen in the last year, it's how valuable hospitals are. Hospitals came from somewhere. It is a uniquely Christian idea. And just think about this for a second. You know, in the world today, there is a universal symbol of medical help. And what is it? Universal symbol. So if you are in a disaster area, if you are in a war zone, where, you know, any place that you find yourself in medical need, there is one symbol that you are looking for. It's not a sickle. It's not even the stars and stripes at that moment. Nor is it a Canadian, nor is it a maple leaf. It's a cross. The universal symbol of help is on the way. Because Christianity has this radical idea that all people matter to God. Radical idea. That's one thing that happens when the church becomes the church and we understand our role as Christ's ambassadors. So let me give you another quick example. In 1751, William King in the UK, and in 1790, Samuel Slater in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, started something. Do you know what that was? Sunday school. Do you know why they started it? Because God wants all people to hear the message. God wants all people to be able to hear the word of God, and they realized not only did they need to tell the word of God, but if they want people to actually read the Bible, it's probably important that we teach people how to read.
And that was the first time where education was extended to people, not because they were wealthy or society deemed them worthy, but just simply because God claims that they're worthy. And so Sunday school got started, and for many people, especially those on the margins, especially those who are you know, don't have much money or don't have any real status, this is the place they learned how to read. And you know what that started? Shortly after, about 40, 50 years later, when people realized, hey, that's actually a good idea. Do you know what that started? Schools. Schools. Our radical idea that all children everywhere should have access to education somehow, it came from somewhere. Where did it come from? From Sunday school, from the church. You are part of the most societally transformative organization ever. And when the church understands who we are in Christ and we live into our role as Christ ambassadors, the world gets better. And when we shirk from that role, the world gets worse. Who is Christ's ambassador? Can we put that verse up on the screen again? Because I want to make sure we've got this part really, really clear. So who is Christ's ambassador?
We are.
Who are?
We are.
And God is making his appeal. Is his appeal vitally important?
Yes.
Who is he making the appeal through?
Us.
Us. Us. I hope we get some sense of just how, I mean, for all the church's warts and wounds and ugliness, and there is plenty, like just some sense of hope for what can happen when we get it right. And I hope and pray even this morning that as we just remember that, the vitally important role that the church has in history, in our present day, or, you know, because there's going to be some other, like, societally transformative ideas in the future. And I don't know what the next big idea, you know, as big as the idea of hospitals or as big as the idea of education, I don't know what that next big idea is. But I do know where it comes from. It comes from men and women who understand that God is using them to make his appeal to the world. So I just want to inspire you, beg you, appeal to you. Don't give up on the local church. And beg you, find your place in it. Whatever local church you find yourself in, make worship a priority. It's good for your soul, but it's not just about you, it's also about the person sitting next to you. Because they need you there. You might not even know it when that one word that you say, that one welcome you give to the punky kid who just played music way too loud on a Sunday night service. You have no idea when what you have to say is going to make that God's going to use that. So we need you here. If Columbia Grove is your home church, please make it your home church. Help us get better. If you don't give anywhere, try it. Give. You know, it's so funny, you know, I talk to lots of people who end up having money troubles, and you say, I'm just asking God to provide. You know, It's like a kid goes to their dad, "Dad, would you raise my allowance?" And the dad says, "What do you want to use it for?" And the kid says, "So I can buy myself more stuff." And the dad doesn't feel so inspired by that. But for us, as children of God, to grow in generosity, whatever exactly that looks like for you, a local church, Christian organization, to build friendships, to start investing in one another, to connect with one another, to encourage one another. Lord knows this is a year where we need encouragement. And to discover what your gifts and talents are and use them to make a difference somewhere. Just thinking right now, we've got some folks that are in that end room right now, and they're teaching Sunday school, and they're wondering when the pastor's going to finally, you know, wrap things up so they can bring the kids back. And I'm sure it is not convenient for them to volunteer on a Sunday morning. But they're in that Sunday school right now. I mean, not only is it the message that these kids are getting that could change their life, I mean, they're a part of a movement that has literally changed the world. I wonder if they know that. Feel free to remind them when you see some adults coming back with a pack of kids in about 4 minutes. When we find our place of service, when we step into God's calling in our life, God uses us together to make a difference. Let me put that verse up on the screen one last time. Rick is so patient with me. I appreciate you. And our media guys, they're also, it's sometimes a thankless job because they got to put up with me. I'm like following a Britney Spaniel on a walk. It's not good. Because we, who? Us. We are Christ's ambassadors. And God is making his appeal through us. Through us. As we close, could we stand together? Because there's two aspects of this that I want us to spend some time with, just in prayer. First one is this. If you have not yet responded to that appeal, I want to give you a chance, just even in the stillness of your own heart, just to say yes to Jesus. That yes it's a message that changes lives. And it seems like each week we see people making new commitments or rededications, and I want to give us a chance to do that. But then also for us as we stand together, to just be thinking about what it means that we're in this together, that as weird as it is, you know, these people around you, that we are the ones that God has called to be ambassadors of this world-changing message. Jesus, thank you that you, through your death on the cross, reconciled us to yourself. And that even through these years of history, these thousands of years later, your call goes out to every man, woman, and child on the planet, come back to God. And Lord, we want to hear that call. Thank you for those who have already heard it. And Lord, for those who need to hear it in a fresh way, or those who need to hear it and respond to it for the first time. Lord, thank you for that call. And for right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give a chance. If today is your big day and you're like, okay, I'm coming back. I'm coming back home to the Lord. Can we just make eye contact for a moment? Yep. See, the Holy Spirit's working here. And each week, he's calling somebody. each week.
Yep.
I see you. So for these amazing kids of yours, God, that you are calling back to yourself today, Lord, would you begin, would you continue that transformative work in their life? And Lord, for each one of us, those who have heard your call, who have responded to it, whether that was 50 years ago or 5 minutes ago, Lord, show us afresh what a privilege it is to be your ambassadors. Lord, help us to not take it lightly. Lord, be gracious with us as we get it wrong and we shake our fists at all the wrong places and all the wrong people. God, forgive us for the hypocrisy that so often exists in the church. Lord, call us back to yourself. And Lord, use us, use us, use us together. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.